Summarized sworn detainee statement. When asked by the tribunal president, the detainee stated he understood the process and he did not have any questions. When asked by the tribunal president if he wanted to make a statement, the detainee stated yes and provided his statement after electing to be sworn.
I have never committed a hostile act against United States or its allies. I was never a part of or supported any forces while in Afghanistan or outside of Afghanistan that were hostile against United States or its allies. I have never carried any type of weapon. I have never worn military clothing, and I never went to any training camps or fought. After I finished my training, I went to Kabul. I was trying to leave Afghanistan from there. I discussed leaving Afghanistan with a few Afghanis and a Saudi man. The Saudi was a person that helps other people. The borders were closed and it was difficult to leave Afghanistan. This was after the death of the leader, Massoud, on the 9th of September 2001. After the events of September 11th, accusations were made against groups in Afghanistan, which made it more difficult for me to leave. About me being a member of Al-Qaeda, that's wrong. This organization defies and goes against every value or principle I was raised with. I have never agreed with the way that they interpret my religion, which is of peace and forgiveness. The fatwas issued by my religious leaders go against the teaching of that organization. I have never participated, acted, or was loyal to that organization. I traveled to Afghanistan in the summer of 2001 to learn how to fight. This was 3 or 4 months prior to the events of September 11th and before the American forces got there. While in Afghanistan, I planned on returning to my country prior to the events of September 11th. I began looking for a way to leave, but all the borders to Pakistan were closed. I was told by some villagers to start going towards the mountains. I also heard Massoud's group was killing Arabs for revenge, so the mountains were my only escape. The reason I began training was to learn how to defend myself. When the Gulf War began in 1991, I had many relatives living in Kuwait. My family members were victims of that war. Some of them were killed and some of them were taken as prisoners of war. My remaining family scattered and came to Saudi Arabia. And at the end of 2000, the problems with Iraq began again. Saddam threatened to occupy Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. I felt the need to defend my country and family. I am also compelled by my religion to defend my family and country. There is no draft, reserves, or voluntary military in Saudi Arabia. There are no camps where civilians can learn to defend themselves. I offered my services to the Saudi Arabian Navy for the chance to train, but never heard back from them. That's when I began my quest to find a place where I could learn to defend myself and ended up in Afghanistan. My intentions were to go and train for a month or two and then to return to Saudi Arabia. My understanding of the training camp I attended in Afghanistan is that it was a general camp, not under any group or organization's control. I knew this because we were not allowed to talk about politics or religion. The Taliban had closed all the other camps, with the exception of this one. The training camp was funded by a Muslim charitable organizations that also funded schools, hospitals, and orphanages. When I heard the name of the camp, it meant nothing to me because I'd never heard of it before. This was the only camp for Arabs. All the other camps were for Afghans. During my stay at the camp, I was trained on small arms, physical fitness, digging tunnels, constructing tents, mountain climbing, and walking through deserts. I never completed my training because I became ill. Every week, I had to travel to Kandahar to receive medical treatment, or I was at the camp hospital. Regarding my stay at a safe house, the house I stayed at was affiliated with the camp I trained at. It was a guest house run by the camp. It was more profitable for me to stay there because it was free. I was sick at the time, and the guest house was more comfortable and safer for me to stay at. It was also close to the hospital. Regarding the Al-Qaeda member, Abduz Zubir al-Hayy, I only met him once at the mosque called Al-Ghar. We spoke about me fighting for the Taliban. I made it clear to him the fighting was between Muslims and it was against my religion to participate in such a fight. We spoke for about 30 minutes and I never saw him again. I never met Osama bin Laden. I only saw him. It was outside the campgrounds on a desert road near a camp. He was in a car that passed by me and I was washing my clothes at a well. The following day he spoke at the mosque in the camp. I did not attend because it was voluntary. I was sick and it gave me a chance to sleep. Also, Osama bin Laden is a radical with radical thoughts that I didn't want to be influenced by him. The accusations of me participating in hostilities against the United States and the Northern Alliance are not true. I am not affiliated with any organization or group. I trained for personal reasons to defend my family and myself. Also, the Northern Alliance is Muslims, and it is against my religion to fight against them. I did not have any weapons, wear military attire, or guard any checkpoints. I was in the mountains with a group of Arab civilians who fled the war. I got to the mountains with the help of an Afghan villager who said it was a safe place to go. We fled to the mountains near the Pakistani border, not the Tora Bora Mountains. I was with a group of civilians who were not armed or fighting. We made it through the Tora Bora Mountains before the fighting began. My injuries were a result of random bombing, not specific targets. We were in the mountains with a Kuwaiti man who was affiliated with a Kuwaiti charity organization. He promised me we could cross the Pakistani borders to our embassy so we could go home. As we were making our way to the Pakistani border, we came to a village and the bombing started. Some Afghanis told me the people who bombed the village thought there were fighters in the village. 60 to 70 villagers were killed during the bombing. The bombings were occurring in all the mountains around Tora Bora. 40 of the Arabs with me were killed and 20 injured. After I was injured, I went to the Northern Alliance for assistance. They treated me in their hospital in the Jalalabad for a month and a half. The leader of the Northern Alliance in the Jalalabad visited me twice and was helping me. They understood my situation and I asked them to take me to my embassy in Pakistan. They told me it would be difficult, so I asked them to release me to the American forces. I wanted the Americans to take me to my country or one of its embassies. I was released to the Americans and taken to a base in Bagram. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Summarized answers in response to questions by the tribunal members.
Where are you from in Saudi Arabia?
From the east.
Which area?
About 50 kilometers from Bahrain.
You spoke about your religion. Which religion are you?
Sunni.
When you decided to train, you left your home in Saudi Arabia and you went to Afghanistan?
Do you mean directly?
Tell me which way you went.
I left Dammam by bus and went to Bahrain, and then I flew to Karachi, and then to Lahore, and then to Quetta. I then took a car to Kandahar.
How did you hear about this training camp in Afghanistan?
He was asking at his mosque where he could get training, and he was told about this place.
The mosque in Dammam?
Yes.
Did you use your own money to travel, or did you get it from an organisation?
Personal finances.
What type of small arms training did you receive? Can you be more specific?
A handgun, Kalashnikov, and several rifles. I also received training on how to tell the distance between two points, how to tell the time without a watch, and the direction of the wind.
Do you remember the name of the camp?
Al-Fariq.
Are you familiar with Al-Qaeda and what they preach?
I've heard about them on the news and in the newspapers.
Did your imam in Dammam ever issue a fatwa for a jihad?
No.
You said the camp was funded by private organisations. Was one of them Al-Wafa, or can you tell me who was funding it?
It was a charity-funded camp.
So you could just go there? They would accept you, or did you give them money, or did you have to call ahead and make arrangements?
I spoke to one of the imams and they gave me the address. I was given a phone number and the man told me to meet him in Mecca. The person in Mecca told me about the camp and how it ran. I told him what I wanted from the training. I was given the address of a person in Lahore.
Did you know the man in Mecca? Was he a stranger?
I got the name from my man.
Were you injured in Tora Bora?
Outside Tora Bora, on the outskirts of a village.
Were you injured by a plane?
Just bombing from the sky.
What was the extent of your injuries?
My entire leg and stomach.
What is your occupation?
I'm a government employee of a charitable organisation.
What is the name of the charitable organisation?
IIRO, International Islam Relief Organisation.
How long did you work for IIRO?
I was still in training, so just a few months.
What did you do before that?
Teaching and working at my father's car dealership.
When you were trying to get out of Afghanistan, what organisation did you represent?
A Kuwaiti organisation. I don't know the name.
Was this organisation supposed to help people get out of Afghanistan?
I was part of the organisation. I was in Afghanistan to help the people in need. I left my charity work and was just trying to leave.
Do you have any other evidence to present to this tribunal?
No.
Personal representative, do you have any other evidence to present to this tribunal?
No.
Authentication.
I certify the material contained in this transcript is a true and accurate summary of the testimony given during the proceedings.
Summarised sworn detainee statement. While administering the oath to the personnel representative, the detainee interrupted and stated that he didn't understand the wording used by the translator. The translator again described to the detainee the swearing-in process of the tribunal team and the personnel representative. When the tribunal president stated for the record that the recorder, reporter and the translator had previously been sworn, the detainee interrupted and asked what the recorder was. The president asked for the translator to explain the role to the detainee. When asked by the tribunal president if the detainee understood the CSRT process, the detainee stated,
"No, I don't."
When asked by the tribunal president if the detainee had any questions concerning the tribunal process, the detainee answered,
"I will see what you ask me, and according to that, I will answer."
The tribunal president asked the detainee what parts of the tribunal process did he not understand.
"I am not literate and don't understand what you mean when you say process. I need you to break down what you mean by process because I don't understand the word. I haven't gone to school."
If you have a question about the process as we go along, you may ask it and we will answer it.
The detainee then asked the translator to clarify what the tribunal president meant about asking questions. The translator explained to the detainee that if during the tribunal the detainee had any questions, the detainee could ask the questions and the tribunal president would answer the question.
Okay.
The tribunal president then asked if the detainee wanted to make a statement.
Yes.
The detainee then began giving his statement and testified essentially as follows.
"Only one of the charges against me is true. The others are not. If you say they are, show me the proof."
The personal representative interrupted after the detainee made his comment and stated,
"I want to reiterate what we talked about in our interview. This tribunal is the part where you can talk to the tribunal members who have not talked to you yet."
"I want to talk to the tribunal members."
The personnel representative told the detainee,
"This is not the time for asking questions or asking the tribunal members to provide you with reasons. This is the time for you to provide the information to tribunal members."
"I understand. I'm sorry that I'm illiterate and don't know. Sorry."
"That is what I'm here to help out with. Do you want to go through this point by point very quickly?"
"Yes."
Let me clarify. This is the time you may talk to us if you want. You don't have to say anything to us at all if you don't want to.
I want to talk.
It's totally up to you.
The detainee then indicated he wanted to make his statement under oath and was sworn by the recorder. He continued his statement essentially as follows.
Before I start, I was never part of, nor have I seen, the Taliban. I told everything to my interrogator. I was a poor person in my country, and I was running away from the Taliban. You stated I was protecting the Taliban and was working with them. Who has seen me working with them? I was nobody over there. It is hard for me to believe that you have any witnesses who will say I work for the Taliban. If you have someone who says I work with the Taliban from that region, then bring me that person. Secondly, I have never held any weapons in my hands or fought against anyone. I have never been injured. I haven't even held a needle in my body. I am trying to answer the allegations against me. What was the third allegation?
The personnel representative responded to the detainee.
You were placed in charge of the Taliban office and you worked as chief of the Taliban office.
I was never in charge. I've never been there, and I've never worked for them. I've already told you the story, and I will tell you again. I was poor. I left my house to look for work. I went to work in the hotel I had in Jalalabad, Afghanistan. I had a partner in the business and a helper. The helper was in training. My partner and I had a dispute over this trainee. My partner told me he wasn't going to do business with me anymore. He was going to sell the property, take his share of the money and get out. You asked me for evidence regarding this. You swore me in the name of Allah that I would tell the truth, and now there is no one who will witness this for me from Afghanistan. No one wants to go through all the trouble to be here. I don't have a witness here or anyone to testify for me. The only thing I have is my word. I can give you an address and you can contact and verify everything from the people that came out of the house. You can tell me it is impossible for me to bring in a witness from Afghanistan. You can call a neighbour and verify that I had a business and was working over there. For example, if you call my neighbours, they will tell you I was selling sandals, then that will prove I was right. I will tell you the real story now. For almost 2 years, I was in the hotel business, at the intersection called Palashi. My business was across from the customs door. There was a guy named Ali Jan that worked in the customs office. Other Taliban officials that worked there came to our hotel and ate. Ali Jan told me that he was my countryman from the north. We got acquainted when he came to get food for his guests. When my partner and I got in a dispute over the hotel, my partner told me he was going to sell everything and split the proceeds. I asked him not to sell everything. We had been here for 2 years and had spent a lot of money on the hotel. I asked him to make a deal. I asked Ali Jan's advice about what to do with the business. Ali Jan said not to sell everything at once. We should first find out what the prices were and continue from there.
The translator clarified that a hotel actually refers to what Americans would call a restaurant.
Based on the prices, my partner would give me money. I could then go home, take care of business there, then come back and get the rest of my money. My partner said he would sell everything at the original purchase price, not the used price. I told my partner it was hard for me here because I didn't know anyone. My partner told me he was going to find another partner for me. My partner found someone from the customs office. I made a list of everything. It was worth about 370 or 380,000 in Afghani money. My new partner gave me half the money and told me to continue working at the hotel. He didn't know anything about running the business. There were businesses across from us that would fry things in a big bowl. For 1 kilo of meat, they would profit 100,000 Afghani rupees. I decided I was also going to use a big bowl to fry things. The other businesses got angry when they saw I was using their idea. They thought I was going to take all of their business. If I started the business the way I had planned, I would have sold 100 kilos of meat each day, which would have been equivalent to 100,000 Afghani rupees, about $100 per week. The person working with me was my handyman. As I was trying to start this business, the handyman disappeared. I went after him and crossed the Tohan border, which is between Pakistan and Afghanistan. I went to Peshawar and looked for him for a week. When I couldn't find him, I came back. That was the main road, and next to the main road was the sidewalk, and next to the sidewalk was the customs office.
A tribunal member interjected.
For the purpose of the record, the detainee was describing the layout of the land. He was drawing a picture on the floor for the benefit of the tribunal members. He was explaining his business, location, and reference to the sidewalk.
The detainee continued.
I swore and I promised I would tell you the truth. If I'm not a criminal and I haven't committed any crimes, why are my hands handcuffed? In Afghanistan, there are people who sell people for money. They use names like boss and whatever else they used to hand me over. You will find out why. This is my true story, and I am going to tell it. When I came back, all the other shops joined in and filed a claim against me at City Hall. The government closed my business. Joining the Taliban is very hard. The shops around me looted all my goods from my business. They told each other I had skipped town. I contacted the security office and reported the incident. The shop owners went to the security commander with their families and stated they had not looted my store. They told the commander the Taliban ruined my business. Each shopkeeper admitted they had taken one or two items from my shop. They told the commander they were safeguarding the items until I got back. The shopkeepers also said if they had to go to prison for this, then their wives and children would be left alone without income. The commander told me and the other people in the dispute to resolve our issues amongst ourselves. He wasn't going to do anything about it. After a month of trying to resolve this, I hadn't got anything back from them. It was the month of Ramadan, and I didn't have any money to buy food. My 2 years of hard work and effort went to waste. I went back to Ali Jan and told him the story. My new partner said because I opened an illegal business, I should give him his money back. Another person told my partner I was a poor guy and that he wouldn't be able to get anything from me. They gave me a job in the customs office as a labourer so I could pay my partner back. I was sponsored by another person so I could work at the customs office. My other partner was involved in security and told them I was a good guy and to do business with. Ali Jan assured them I was okay to work with. I was a labourer for 6 or 7 months. One of my friends took the money I earned and paid the people I owed. It was hard work. I got depressed every day. I ended up getting sick. After 4 months, my partner gave me some of my money back and told me to keep it for myself. In those last 4 months, I collected about $9,000 to $15,000. I was sad and went to Mazar-e-Sharif without permission from Ali Jan. I owed a lot of people in Mazar and where I'm from. I decided I would stay in Mazar and work. After saving money, I planned to return to my village. I rented a little shopping space near an intersection under an apartment complex. I would buy pairs of sandals and sell them in my shop. I had customers who purchased sandals from me every day. I never earned less than 500,000 a day and sometimes earned up to 1,500,000 a day. I would buy 40 dozen and I would make 100,000 per dozen for the sandals I sold. I was sitting with some friends when a couple of Talibs showed up. They asked me where I was from and what type of business I was doing. I was surprised and suspicious. I wondered why he was so kind and why he asked me what I was doing and how was my business. I thought maybe he had seen me someplace before. I was very excited to go back to my village. I had collected some money and I could pay back some of the people I owed. He asked me if I had worked in any other province of Afghanistan and what kind of work had I done. I was surprised by his questions.
I don't understand. Who came and asked him these questions?
The Talibs came in and asked me the questions. One of the Talibs took out a letter of their pocket and asked me to read it. The letter said to report to the first regional intelligence office as soon as possible. I was afraid after I read the letter. I told them to wait a minute. I wanted to tell my friends and take care of my business before I left. They told me I had to leave now. I told the interrogators this the first time I spoke with them. For some reason, the interrogators misunderstood what I told them. I have told you the true story. When I got in the taxi with them to leave, they asked me if I knew Ali Jan. When I got to the office, they told another person to take me underground. It was a two-story building with a basement. When they took me downstairs, one side of the floor was covered in dirt, and the other side was covered with empty bullet shells. They left me there alone for a long time in the dark. After dark, the recorder, the person who puts names in the book, finally showed up. They told me their boss was pissed off with me. I was told to talk or I was going to get beat up. I told them to take me upstairs to talk to the boss. He told me he would take me to the boss, but I had to promise not to try and leave. I was very young at the time and I didn't have a beard. I was a pretty boy. Ali Jan had come from Jalalabad to Mazar-e-Sharif. They were all gathered around and he asked me why I skipped out on him after they had sponsored me. I said I was sick and missed my family. They told me they were going to beat me up and send me to Jalalabad to court. I told them I made a mistake and asked what could I do. For 1 year, I had to work as chef and take care of the people in that building.
In Mazar-e-Sharif?
Yes. Ali Jan told me he was fired from the customs office for trusting everyone. Ali Jan came to Mazar-e-Sharif and got a job working in intelligence. The next day, I would begin working as a chef and servant. Whenever I left the office, they would follow me or send a soldier with me. I believe I was there a month and a half before Ramadan.
The translator asked the detainee to clarify his last statement.
I was in Mazar-e-Sharif with Ali Jan for about a month or month and a half. I didn't stay there very long. You can verify that. During Ramadan, Ali Jan told me he was leaving for 15 days and I had to stay. I didn't know it, but Ali Jan had taken a bribe from someone. A few days after Ali Jan left, people from the intelligence came and arrested everyone. They took us to the intelligence office. I don't know what happened to everyone else, but I was put in a separate room. The next day, they asked me what I was doing there. They asked me if I was Taliban. I told them no. They asked me if I was a mullah and if I had read the books. I told them no. They asked if I wasn't Taliban or mullah, what was I doing here? They told me I didn't have enough of a beard and that I was a pretty boy. That night, I told them I was Ali Jan's friend, but I didn't tell them what kind of friend I was. I've never said this to anyone before. They asked me if I knew why I was here. I replied no. In Afghanistan, they ask your name, where you were from, and what you did. They told me I was arrested and would have to go to court because Ali Jan had taken bribes from people. I said to myself, God, what is going on? I went from the dripping to the running water. They kept me with the intelligence officer 3 days before moving me to a different location. They told me to cooperate and wanted me to work for them. If I didn't, they told me I would have to go to court. I asked them what kind of friendship or cooperation did they want. They wanted me to take care of their friends and prepare food and clean up. I told them I would do this instead of going to court. I was young and they were looking for boys like me and paid good money. When fighting broke out in Sanchara, my brothers came to Mazar-e-Sharif with their camels. In Kamaraban, we rented a house in the Taliban area from Agi Ada Rekman. When my boss saw my brother and nephew, who were both young and pretty boys, my boss asked me who they were and why are they here. I'm telling you this very hesitantly, and this is something that has to be kept a secret, because this is a shame in the Afghan culture to disclose this kind of information. There were no other motives or anything else going on besides what I'm telling you. I'm not Haji. I'm not a professor and I'm not educated. I'm just an ordinary person. They gave me a free place to live. After they saw my brother and nephew, they were even more interested in us and asked us to come back and forth to the office. The house we were staying in had lots of rooms with sealed locks. Those locks were checked on a daily basis to ensure they had not been opened. The houses used to belong to the Afghani army who opposed the Taliban. When the Afghan army fled, the Taliban took the houses. The furnishings for the homes are locked in those rooms. We did not touch any of those items. Every 3 months, people working in the intelligence office get rotated and new people come in. They gave me a job in the second district with Abdul Rekmal. I worked there for 6 to 7 months, and sometimes we worked at different locations. There were rumors between the workers that I was the new boss's lover. I bought a car, and every couple of months we would get to see our family. We had very little to do, and we weren't quite sure of our positions or duties. We would go there for a couple of hours a week and sign papers. After working for about 5 or 6 months, they were toppled. I told the interrogator in detail what happened during that time. This is my story, and you guys must decide whether or not I am a criminal. I am not aware, nor have I committed the charges against me. If you want to verify what I have told you, I can provide addresses. I am finished, and if you have any questions, I will answer them.
The tribunal president asked the personal representative if he had any other questions for the detainee.
No, sir. Thank you for your attention and for listening to my story.
Summarize answers in response to questions by the tribunal members.
When you worked for the Taliban as a chef, did you consider yourself a Tali?
Where was I a chef?
In Mazar-e-Sharif, in the intelligence office.
I was a chef at my hotel. At Mazar-e-Sharif, I wasn't only a chef. I also took care of cleaning and serving. I wore the same clothes as the Taliban, so no one could tell if I was or wasn't Taliban.
Did they consider you a Talib?
Who?
the Talib you were working for?
No, they didn't consider me Taliban. I wasn't educated. They knew I wasn't Taliban.
Why do you think they treated you so well?
I don't know. The big boss was the only one that treated me well. I can't tell you what was on his mind or what his motives were.
I'm sure you can understand that if you dressed like them, they gave you a nice house for your family, you made enough money to have a car, that others might consider you a Taliban.
They didn't buy me a car, and it's not unusual for them to bring a chef in to work for them. It's not unusual for them to pick someone off the street and bring them there. I told you before, I got there when I was a very young boy, and I don't know why they were nice to me.
You state that it was an intelligence office you were working at. Did you ever witness intelligence or military operations?
I've already told the interrogator everything. It will take me a long time to tell you everything again.
That's all right. Did you ever consider yourself a prisoner of the Taliban?
I wasn't physically in handcuffs, but because I was watched all the time, I felt mentally and psychologically I was a prisoner. Before my family came back from Sanshara, I wasn't able to leave. Once my family returned, they were more assured I wouldn't leave.
They treated you rather well for being a prisoner. Did you agree to work with them?
You are right. They did have an ulterior motive. I can't exactly tell you what they wanted, but you should have been able to figure it out by now. I know they had a reason for treating us well.
The tribunal president asked the detainee if he had any other statements or evidence to present to the tribunal.
I told the interrogator there was no other way for me to provide any type of proof unless you can bring me someone who has worked with me or knows me. Otherwise, there is nothing else. The interrogator told me it is not American justice to sit two prisoners face to face to talk for or against each other. I see in your justice system you are very educated, smart and reasonable, and you should unite us. The tensions between the people over here are going to continue unless you do something about it. You are wasting your time on these people. If you have evidence against us, you need to show us and prove it. If not, why are we here and our families over there? You are wasting our time over here. There is no benefit by keeping us here. Keeping us here and having us face to face will only add to the animosity and deepen the hatred. No one will provide any evidence for or against me or anyone else here.
Do you have any other evidence to present to this tribunal?
No.
Personal representative, do you have any other evidence to present to this tribunal?
I have one statement to back up. The fact that the tribunal member asked a question, and I can reiterate the answer. In regards to the unclassified summary A2, the detainee did consider himself to be a prisoner when he worked in that office. I have that information in my notes.
After I took the oath, I will not tell you anything different. I swore to God and I told you the entire story, and now it is up to you guys to make the decision. I am from Afghanistan, and if you ask the people there, they will confirm what I have told you is the truth. I have lots of friends in Mazar Sharif who know me from my sandal shop. You can contact them and they will confirm my story. Yassim Goraki is the man who sold me the sandals. He can check his book and confirm my story. His shop is at the very end of the street.
Authentication.
I certify the material contained in this transcript is a true and accurate summary of the testimony given during the proceedings.
Summarised unsworn detainee statement. When the recorder stated he had no further unclassified evidence to present, but requested a closed session at a later time to present classified evidence, the detainee asked where the classified evidence was and how he could accuse him without showing him the evidence against him. The tribunal president told the detainee that he was not entitled to see the classified evidence for reasons of national security, and the detainee could refute any of the unclassified evidence by making a statement or presenting evidence. The detainee requested the personal representative read his statement for him, and the personal representative obliged by addressing each point in the unclassified summary R1.
3A1. detainee joined the Taliban to fight against the Northern Alliance and the United States.
This is not true. I went to fight Farsi people in the north, not the United States. Massoud was one of the people in the north, and all of them were part of the Northern Alliance. My purpose was to defend the Pashto people against the Northern Alliance.
3A2. Detainee stated that he attended an anti-Western rally and then joined the jihad against the Americans.
That happened before I went to Afghanistan, in Pakistan. It was a jirga, not an anti-Western rally. At the jirga, I was told there was oppression against the Pashtuns in Afghanistan. This oppression had been going on in a 15-20-year conflict. The roots of this conflict have nothing to do with America, and there was no mention of America.
3A3. Detainee claims to be connected with the Tariq Nafaz Shariati Muhammad Molakand organization, or Tariq Nafaz Shariati Muhammadi Molakand Daniya, which brought over 5,000 people to Mazar-e-Sharif from Pakistan for jihad in November of 2001.
That is correct.
The Tariq Nafaz Shariati Muhammadi Molakand Daniya is a Pakistan-based Islamic militant group that is based in the northeast portion of Pakistan that was sent to Mazar-e-Sharif to fight with the Taliban forces.
I am aware of the group, but not aware of any relation it has to the Taliban. I changed my mind in Afghanistan at Mazar-e-Sharif about jihad. At that time, the Americans took me from Mazar-e-Sharif because I was an English speaker.
The personal representative stated that was the end of their discussion. The detainee added the following.
When I was in Mazar-e-Sharif, I was in prison at the jail. When we were in prison, we were all tied up in the cell and were being questioned. When they asked me if I speak English, I said yes. Then they took me to Kandahar and interrogated me there. They told me they were going to send me home. From Kandahar, they sent me to Cuba and said I was going to go home. It doesn't matter to me if you have some evidence against me, if I get a prison sentence of 20 to 25 years. You guys are saying I was fighting the US forces. The claim is that I was captured with weapons. I never had any weapons or any ammunition when I surrendered. The time I spend in Kandahar and here, who is going to give me an answer for all the time I've been in prison for? I can understand if you guys have some evidence against me or if I am guilty, but I am here for no reason. I have been held for 3 years for no reason.
The tribunal president stated that our mission is to evaluate or analyze all of the fact-based information to determine the detainee's enemy combat status.
I would like you to make your determination, and I would like the evidence to be brought against me. I'd be happy if you could show me some evidence saying I did this crime or that. Otherwise, I'm just being held for no reason.
The tribunal president stated that we have made available all unclassified information that we have the authority to provide to you. We do not have the authority to provide the classified information to you due to its classified nature and the national security risk involved with that information.
So what decision are you going to make now? Am I an enemy combatant or not?
The tribunal president stated the tribunal will make that determination after observing and analysing all facts, information and evidence available, and also after the detainee has the opportunity to make his statement to the tribunal. Summarised answers to the questions by tribunal members.
Do you speak English?
Yes, not too much, but I understand some.
Where did you learn English?
In school.
What is a jirga?
When the Pashtun people gather, it's called a jirga.
How is that different from a rally?
It could be the same. At a jirga, the elders gather and make decisions.
Are you trained to use weapons?
The translator mentioned the word Kalashnikov when asking the question, and the tribunal member told the translator to translate directly what is asked. He did not mention Kalashnikov.
I don't have training on weapons.
Have you ever used a rifle?
Yes, for hunting.
Have you ever received military training?
None.
What value would you be fighting the Northern Alliance if you had no training?
Not everyone knows how to fight. Some people just serve, and others fight.
Have you ever fought in Kashmir?
No.
How were you captured?
We surrendered.
Who were you with?
We were the Pashtuns in Mazar-e-Sharif.
How many?
400, 500.
What weapons did your group have when they surrendered?
Kalashnikovs.
How old are you?
I was born in 1980.
You are a native of what part of Afghanistan?
I'm from Pakistan.
Could you tell us how you became connected with the Tehreek Nafaz organization?
It was my first time attending the Jirga, and that's how I was associated with them.
Was it that organization that put together the rally or the Jirga?
Yes, I was the leader of that group that organized the Jirga.
How does one get to be a leader to organize an event like that?
Elders are known leaders, and Pashtun people only, not other people.
If that was normally a job for elders, and you were allowed to do it, they must have had great confidence in your ability.
The interpreter is also Pashtun, and that he, the interpreter, should know that they respect elders very much.
Were you a leader or an attendee at the Jirga?
I was just an attendee.
After you attended the Jirga or rally, did people approach you and ask you to assume certain responsibilities?
No.
How was it that you traveled to Afghanistan?
We went in cars, trucks.
Why was it that you went to Afghanistan?
Because of the Pashtun people. We wanted to defend them. I want to clarify something. Pashtuns live on both sides of the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan. They're the same people and the same families. It's just the border is dividing them.
At the rally, you heard that it was the non-Pashtun people, the Farsi, the Uzbek, the Tajik, and people like that, who were fighting against the Pashtuns?
We call them the Northern Alliance.
Was your intent to fight against them because they were attacking the Pashtuns?
Yes.
When did you travel to Afghanistan?
November 2001.
Were you aware that the United States military was in Afghanistan?
Just that the bombing had started.
Did you think that if you went to Afghanistan, you might be bombed?
No, I wasn't concerned about being bombed.
Were you aware that the people you were going to fight with, the people on your side, were the ones that were being bombed?
No, we weren't thinking about that. Our intention was different.
Did you know who was being bombed?
No, we had no information because we were in a different area than where the bombing was taking place.
Did you realize that when you were going to fight against the Northern Alliance, that the United States was fighting on the same side as the Northern Alliance?
Yes, I knew they were assisting the United States.
Do you understand why that was?
No, I don't.
You were not told anything by your leadership?
I never saw the leaders afterwards. We just had that meeting and we just left, that was it.
There were no further questions by the tribunal members or president.
I have a question. Some detainees that I have heard of have been released, even without tribunals. I have heard of about 100. How is that fair?
I have also heard a little information about that. I have no direct knowledge of that process. We are only involved with these tribunal proceedings to determine your enemy combatant status.
But how is this fair? Everyone should go through the same process.
I am only assigned for this tribunal process, and I do not know what happened with those other cases. Possibly in your communication network, you may be able to find out more than we can.
I'm a prisoner. What kind of information can I get? Even my letters from my mother and father are marked and edited. I don't even have that information.
The tribunal president continued to explain the notification process to the detainee, and the detainee indicated that he understood. Authentication.
I certify the material contained in this transcript is a true and accurate summary of the testimony given during the proceedings.
summarized transcript of detainee statement and witness testimony. Before testimony began, the detainee indicated he did not understand the tribunal process. Specifically, the detainee asked the tribunal to clarify the difference between unclassified documents and classified documents. The personal representative explained to the detainee the unclassified documents were shown and discussed with him during the interview sessions. The detainee indicated that he understood that unclassified evidence was evidence that he would be able to hear during the proceedings. The detainee then made the following unsworn statement, summarized.
I did not know that the Al-Farouk camp was a part of Al-Qaeda or associated with Al-Qaeda. I did not know they were against the United States. That is all I have to say.
May I make a comment? What Faisal did not add from what we talked about before was that he actually did not participate in fighting. He was simply a guard at an outpost camp.
Yes, that is true. I was a guard on some land, but not at the camp.
He was a guard on a border. That is the only thing we discussed that was not included in his statement.
Okay. Personal representative, do you have any further questions for the detainee?
No, sir, I do not.
Recorder, do you have any other questions for the detainee?
No, sir, I do not.
Do any of the tribunal members have any questions for the detainee?
Yes, sir, I have one question. When you left from your home country to go to Afghanistan, were you aware that you were going to be training with the Taliban?
Before you answer, I want you to understand that you do not have to answer any of our questions. Just as your statement was optional, so is answering any questions.
Did you want to answer the question?
I was not aware that I was going to be fighting with the Taliban. I thought I was going to be learning from the Taliban, not fighting.
When you were a guard, were you a guard for the Taliban forces?
Yes, for the Taliban.
When you were wounded, were you also with the Taliban at that time?
Yes, I was with them.
Any further questions?
No, sir. No further questions.
Faisal Salih Al-Nasir, do you have any further evidence to present to this tribunal?
Do you want me to say anything that I've not mentioned?
I think we have pretty much covered everything. The points I'd like to reiterate are the detainee did not know who was going to fight or guard against the Northern Alliance. The detainee did not know how the United States was involved. And the detainee never shot his rifle at anyone. He was simply a guard for a piece of land. That is pretty much what we discussed.
Yes, that is true.
Personal representative, do you have any final evidence to offer this tribunal?
No, sir.
Recorder, do you have any final questions?
No, sir, I do not.
Tribunal, any final questions?
No, sir.
I certify the material contained in this transcript is a true and accurate summary of the testimony given during the proceedings.
We will now take a 10-minute recess.